Well, continuing in Nehemiah, and looking at the man and his message, and his experiences, and his challenges, indeed for us today. So we looked at last week how Nehemiah was a cupbearer to the king over there in Persia, and he had a message saying that still Jerusalem was burnt down, the walls and the gates and so on, and he was very distressed. And he sought permission of the king to go back, and he was granted that permission as he prayed. Now, there are 9 prayers in Nehemiah, so he's a real man of prayer, wasn't he? Well, the Lord answered his prayer, and he had permission to go back to Jerusalem. And we found out that he, at nighttime, he traveled around the broken, burnt-down walls and gates of the city and was very distressed. He went at night, almost on his own, because of the fear of enemies. And he did that very wisely. So we're looking at him late afternoon. We're looking at him, in one sense, as a man who was a watchman on the walls. A watchman on the walls. So if you'd like just to have a look in chapter 2 at the end, towards the end, and you can see from verse 11, he was in Jerusalem for 3 days. He went at night time to examine the walls, and he said that there was no one there with me except the one I rode the animal. Went out at night time, you can see from verse 13 onwards, he examined the gates and where they were. And verse 16 says that the officials did not know he had gone, so very much secretly on his own, examining the broken down walls. And verse 17, the distressed were in Jerusalem, at waste, gates burn with fire. And he says to the officials back in verse 16, who didn't know where he'd gone, verse 17, and then he says, you see the distress that we are in Jerusalem, it's waste, gates burn with fire. Come, let us build the wall of Jerusalem, that we may no longer be a reproach. And I told them of the hand of my God, verse 18, which had been good upon me, also the king's words that he had spoken to me. In other words, you can go back. So let us rise up and build, verse 18. Then they set their hands to do this good work. Well, of course, then the enemy hears about it. Whenever the Lord is working and we're working with him, there's always opposition. We know that by our own experience. See that in verse 19. Verse 19. Sanballat the Horonite. Sanballat is a title, by the way, a rank. And then there's Tobiah the Ammonite, not exactly a friend. And Geshem the Arab heard of it, and they laughed at us to scorn. Verse 19. They despised us and said, what is this thing that you are doing? Will you rebel against the king? Now, that was a lie for a start, as you know. We looked at this last week, because the king had given permission for Nehemiah to come back. And what was his reply? Verse 20. The reply, I answered them and said to them, the God of heaven himself will prosper us. Therefore, we his servants will arise and build, but you have no heritage or right or memorial in Jerusalem. In other words, you get packing and go away. Very brave man. Man who stood his ground. He knew that the Lord was with him and was blessing him. So they began to rebuild the walls. They look in chapter 3. We won't dwell much on chapter 3, because there it lists all the people by their homes, where they were living, rebuilding that section of the wall where they were. And the whole family is listed later on in chapter 3. But verse 1, you can see that. Eliashib the high priest rose up with his brethren, chapter 3, verse 1. The priests built the sheep gate, consecrated, hung its doors, they built and so on. And they went on right down to all the different families, and they built up the wall stage by stage. We won't spend any time looking at those. Right through in the different families, right through, all listed there, through to the end of chapter 3. So when you get through to chapter 4 now, in chapter 4, so they heard the progress of the rebuilding of the wall, stage by stage, section by section, all the way around. It took them 52 days in all to do that. Verse 1 of chapter 4. It happened when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall that he was furious and very indignant and mocked the Jews. Well, there's the enemy. He will mock us in our work that we might serve the Lord. But of course, he's an enemy and has no power over us unless we let him. And there was a mocking, and they were very angry with the work of the Lord. Of course, that's an enemy they would be, wouldn't they? So he spoke before the brethren in the army of Samaria. What are these feeble Jews doing? Verse 2, chapter 4. What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they offer sacrifice? No, they build the walls and protect themselves. Will they complete it in a day? They didn't expect to, of course. Will they revive the stones from the heaps of rubbish? Stones that are burned? He's mocking them. You can't do it. This is impossible, he says. Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him and said, whatever they build, even if a fox goes up to it, he will break down their stone wall. That was meant to be the opportunity to discourage the Jewish people from doing their work. And you and I can get also discouraged in our service for the Lord. Don't let it happen. The enemy may come at us with attacks and with lies into our minds, trying to undermine the work that we do for the Lord. Don't have any part of it. And look at, once again, one of the nine prayers of Nehemiah is in chapter 4 from verse 4. Just look at that, chapter 4 and verse 4. Hear, O our God, for we are despised. Turn their reproach on their own heads and give them a plunder to a land of captivity. Now let's get rid of them. Do not cover their iniquity. Do not let their sin be blotted out from before you, for they provoked you to anger before the builders. So we built the wall, verse 6. And the entire wall was joined together up to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. And again, the enemy was angry, you see, about the restoration. End of verse 7. The walls were being restored, the gaps beginning to be closed, and they became very angry. Oh, yeah. Closing the ranks for protection. The walls of Jerusalem are twofold purpose. One is to keep them safe within. Secondly, to keep the enemy out. Now, we as Christians have the whole armor of God that protects us within and keeps the enemy out. That's why we have the whole armor of God in its different aspects, Ephesians chapter 6, as we know. So they were very angry with the work that they were doing. They kept going. And then came the conspiring together. Look in verse 8. They conspire together to come and attack Jerusalem and create confusion. The enemy is a god of confusion, all right? He'll confuse the Lord's work. He'll try and confuse the church. He'll try and divide us all up, break us down. In that sense, it's partial victory if he could do that. But what did Nehemiah do? Once again, they prayed. Look in verse 9 and verse 9. Nevertheless, because of all this, even so, we made our prayer to our God, and because of them, we set a watch against them day and night. I'm starting on that now, this afternoon. Watchmen on the walls. Nearly complete. It would take 52 days to complete the wall high up. We made our prayer to our God, and because of them, we set a watch against them day and night. But they felt their weakness. I certainly see that in verse 10. But you know, sad thing to say is that in some instances, some of the leaders would not work. They would not work. If you look, let me see, have I got the right chapter here in chapter 4? Some of them decided they would not work at all. Most of the people in verse 6, they had a mind to work. But some of them, they simply would not join in. In chapter 4, we've got it here. Verse 7, you've got Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, Ammonites. So They heard the walls were being restored, gaps beginning, and they became very angry. Conspiracy there, of course, against them. They prayed, and that was it. And as we move on, I want to consider Nehemiah as an example of being a watchman on the walls. He planned the work. He walked the walls. He examined everything with great watchfulness and care because of enemy opposition. He prayed. He prepared the way and sought protection and participation with the other people to do their part in rebuilding the walls. And you can see that in chapter 2, 17 and 18. But his faith in the Lord was a very confident faith. We don't see any thoughts here, there are any doubts in his mind. He came to do the work of the Lord for the time he was permitted to be in Jerusalem. He organized it so well. He was a man of confidence in the Lord. And he prayed so frequently to the Lord as well in that respect. Confident faith. He knew what the Lord wanted done. He wanted those walls rebuilt. He wanted the gates built back up again and the city protected. And so they did that. Now, of course, we know that the Jewish people came back in different stages back to Israel, Judah, and Jerusalem. They didn't all come back at once. In fact, in an earlier chapter, just over 49,000 came back. The rest stayed in Babylon. They wanted an easier time. We don't want to have hard work and rebuild the walls and the gates in the city. We're staying here. And so often, you know, there are those of the Lord's people that are just passengers and not workers, as was in the case here. And some of the noble people, the wealthy people, they refused to join in. They would not work in the building of the walls. They had no vision for it. They were interested in their own selfish desires. And that's what they were doing. And this was a great problem for Nehemiah. It tried to undermine him. But the people had a mind to work. Difficulties, yes, came from the enemy. But he was prepared to pray along those lines for the Lord to bless them. Everyone had their own responsibilities. And think about Nehemiah. He was God's man at the right time to do the right work and in the right way, in the right place. And therefore, because he was in the right place as the right man, doing the right work, then they will be sure of some success. Let me just remove something from there, if I may. Something's come in I don't want. That's better. Interference there. So Nehemiah was the one who did the work and was important. And he was a very wise leader. Would you just go back to chapter 2 for a moment, please? In chapter 2. And look at verse 12. I rose in the night, I and a few men with me. I told no one what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. See, the Lord had instructed him. That was his confidence. What was to be done in Jerusalem? Just a few of their men with him, so we hear. So he was confident in what the Lord commanded him to do. When we know the will of God, we have confidence and we go forward in the will of God. It's not always easy to know the mind of Christ, is it, on these different areas. So Nehemiah went secretly around those walls and they were rebuilding the walls, but he did not want to get the glory. He didn't want to receive the well done or slap on the back. He wanted to do the will of God, the work of God at the right time and the right place. He was the right man. May that be so for each one of us too. The right people in the right place at the right time doing the right work for the right, and therefore that will prosper. And Nehemiah was able to prosper in the rebuilding of what he did. And so what a man he was. And the Lord gave him wisdom to know what to do as well. You see, if you give a spiritual answer to this one, just for a moment, we're dealing historically, yes, but applying it to our Christian life as well. There are spiritual walls around us. It's the armor of God, as I said just now. When we have the spiritual walls or armor protecting us, it is always built on the foundation, which is Christ. If we're not on the foundation, well, we know we are. If we're not on the foundation, we can't build. The foundation was there. They built the walls. It brought security when they were completed to the people inside and kept the enemy outside. Very important for our own Christian life. Spiritual walls, our armor, our foundation in Christ, our security in Christ, our secure salvation in Christ. That is a spiritual foundation. Nehemiah had it, though he was doing a physical work, but he had the spiritual. He knew that he was the one whom God sent for the work. And may we know all the will of God for our own lives. So the Lord gave him wisdom and all that was to be done. Well, the walls, very important. And prayer, as in case with Nehemiah, 9 prayers here. As in the case of Nehemiah, prayer time is always in the work of the Lord and will receive the Lord's blessing and answers and help in this way. Prayer is always the answer to adversity. Nehemiah knew adversity. When we have adversity, we pray and the Lord guards us and gives us strength to go through. Prayer in times of adversity is a good test. Some people moan at their circumstances. Other people pray about them. So here it says, often in the case, Nehemiah's 9 prayers frequently prayed for protection. Frequently prayed for protection. Now we have the old armor of God, yes, but it's against the wiles of the devil that we also fight principalities and powers, works of darkness against the church, against the Christian. Nehemiah knew that his prayer brought protection. So it is indeed for us as well. And prayer is always the answer to any adverse circumstances. Well, we do get those from time to time, don't we? So this was the Apostle Paul's experience as well. Would you move on just for a moment? Would you move on beyond this, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and look at the list of Paul's adversities in some cases. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, please. And see what he says about his experiences. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and look at verses 8 and 9. He writes to the Corinthian church, several letters he wrote. And chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Chapter 1, 8 and 9, please. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, though we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. There was difficulty, if you like, opposition. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, so much opposition. People wanted to kill Paul. That we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. Are you also helping together in prayer for us? Verse 11. That was Paul's experience. And I'm sure that Nehemiah had a measure of that himself.